Well, in this episode, I have with me Steve Carter. How you doing, Steve?
Eric, it's so good to be with you, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're excited. We're about to have you here in Austin at our men's gathering. It's going to be a great time. You, Carlos Ortiz, Galen Clark, and a whole bunch of guys. And we're just so grateful you're coming down with us. I want to talk a little bit about one of your books. It's kind of what we've used as the theme. It's all about getting motivated to be who you were created to be. But this book, The Thing Beneath the Thing, talk a little bit about kind of the origins of this book and what message you're really trying to convey.
Yeah, I think, you've been a pastor and been around people, and you've probably never had anybody come into your office and say, "Eric, today's the day. Today's the day that I absolutely am going to decimate my character and train wreck every relationship." But somehow this happens. People end up making decisions that don't just self-sabotage their hopes and dreams and the visions God has for them, but the collateral damage, the way it affects their families, their companies, their friendships, their church involvement. And it really reminds me of Romans 7:15. I think it's one of the most human and relatable passages when Paul just says, "I don't understand what I do. The good I want to do, I just don't do, but the thing I hate, I do." And this thing beneath the thing really was my attempt to try and answer the question, why do we do what we do, and what does God's word and God's truth have to show us about actually seeing the good and being about that?
I love it. And I think there's, this diving into some of those wounds and those triggers. Sometimes guys, we can just kind of power through and not slow down enough to consider the baggage we're carrying. What are some of the ways personally you've been able to make it through the healing process? And what do you usually share with guys that encourages them along the way?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. We're all carrying these wounds. And some of those wounds come from our childhood. Some of those wounds come from, being an adult and, a relationship doesn't work out, or a mentor, or a job, a death of a dream kind of thing. And we almost carry this. And for most of us guys, like, we've been taught how to achieve. We just haven't ever been taught how to handle and deal with the pain, the struggle, the wounds. And so then, God cares about all of us. He actually wants every part of us to become whole and holy and spiritually healthy. And I think it's his kindness that leads us to return back to him. And I think oftentimes people who are triggering us, they are reminding us of a past wound. And we often just see it as permission to escape or lash out or think terrible thoughts about that person or ourselves. But what if when we got triggered, we could get curious and begin to recognize, man, maybe this is an invitation for God's grace to take this, what I refer to as like a pothole in our story, and actually get to the thing beneath the thing and really allow that grace to wash over us and make us whole and holy and really, really healthy. And that, when that happens, our relationships are stronger. Our people trust us because we're safe and consistent. And I think when we're able to do that inner work with the Spirit and with God's word and really good, like, relationships, man, we just become healthier people for our kids, for our spouses, for our friendships, for our companies. And that's what I'm really hoping for, is that we as men would be able to represent Christ in the most healthy and whole way possible.
Well, it's a great book. I'm excited to see men at the gathering and start reading it. We're going to be doing groups after it, working through the book. We'll be giving away some free copies to those who are already signed up to my email newsletter at ericbryant.org. You also have a new book that's coming out really soon, Grieve, Breathe, Receive, Finding a Faith Strong Enough to Hold Us. Talk a little bit about what you're sharing in that book.
Yeah, so kind of 2018, my life just hit a massive speed bump that I didn't see coming. And I was handed the keys to lead a church in the Chicagoland area that I just absolutely loved and adored. But some allegations came out about my mentor that I didn't know about. And they ended up just affecting so many people. And so I ended up like standing up and just saying, we got to fight for the truth, and ended up resigning. And it led us to the desert. And I spent about 4 or 5 years literally in the metaphorical desert and the literal desert. And I was asking those two questions. The first one was like, why do we do what we do? Because I was trying to understand, like, how did this happen? And that's what led to the thing beneath the thing. But the second question was, what do you do when life does what it does? How do you, when like life surprises you, how do you deal with that in a healthy way? And so the thing beneath the thing and Grieve, Breathe, Receive are almost like tandem books together. And Grieve, Breathe, Receive kind of follows Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of Holy Week. And Friday is the day that we grieve what is, grieve what we thought it was going to be, grieve how key people let us down. Saturday, you know, Silent Saturday or Holy Saturday, or in the Old Testament, like the 40 years in the desert, it's this liminal space of where we are waiting and wondering, is Sunday coming? Are we ever going to get to this land of promise? What are you doing, God? And then Sunday is the receiving. It's the day of surprise where we receive what we need to own, receive who we can become, and receive the surprises that God has in store for us. So it's a real kind of narrative journey between Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and really helping people understand not just, and the thing beneath the thing, we understand like what triggers us and our wounds, but Grieve, Breathe, Receive is helping us understand, well, now what do I do with that grief? How do I actually really lean into that grief, not let it hold my life back, but really keep myself wildly open to the hope that Sunday offers us in Easter.
I love that. I want to talk a little bit more about that. The grieving, it's not, again, our go-to move in our culture. What was that like in the desert? What would you say to someone who doesn't know they need to grieve, or they are hurting, but doesn't know how to grieve?
Yeah. Well, that was me, you know. I mean, the line that the Lord woke me up one morning and just said, you can't achieve your way out of this. Mm-hmm. You can only grieve your way through it. And I just wrote down, I don't know how to grieve. And I knew how to achieve. I knew how to like set goals and go after them. I didn't know how to sit and actually say, this hurt. Or this wasn't fair, or this wasn't right. And to really begin to learn how to bring that before the Lord. You look at the book of Lamentations, or you look at a lot of the Psalms. I mean, they are these honest reflections. Habakkuk 2 just says, you know, write it down, make it plain. Like write down those visions of what you want or what you feel. And that's like what the psalmist did. I just feel like for many of us guys, for some apparent reason, that has come across as soft or not okay. But I think what I'm finding, especially post-pandemic, when we're living in an age of outrage, when we're living in a time where, man, we are just so pent up, I think for many of us, we've just been stacking grievances. Mm. And we've not, and it's like, and every once in a while, someone just pulls something and it's like, it's like a Jenga, you know, and all of a sudden the whole wall just comes crashing down. And for many of us, that's in a relationship, that's in our company. It has massive effects on our soul. And so this book is just trying to help people go in the most accessible and hopefully helpful way, how to grieve, but grieve with hope. How to grieve, but see that this is a part of a process that God is going to reveal himself as safe and consistent and worthy of your trust, even in the midst of some of your deepest pain.
Yeah. And I think that's what I love about the themes in your book. I mean, they're raw, they're authentic. Amy, if you don't mind, share a little bit more of your journey as a leader, because I'm sure there are some who have gone through something similar and have sworn off the church, or others maybe not in leadership, but they see things that happen to people they looked up to, and suddenly, you know, well, I don't believe in organized religion anymore. Like, what has kept you staying connected to the local church? And even now, as a teaching pastor at another church, talk about your journey towards wrestling through that.
Yeah, great question. So just for context, I was at a church called Willow Creek and had been, you know, one of the successors to take over. And I mean, a church arguably of like 25 to 30,000 people on a given weekend, 8 campuses, almost $500 million in assets. I mean, it's just like, it was a machine and very, very influential in Chicagoland and somewhat beyond. And
oh yeah,
and I loved the church. I loved it. I was doing chaplaincy work for the Chicago Bears. My job was content and congregation, so I got to create series, teach, and write, and be accessible to the congregation. I loved my job, and then life did what life often does, and it just uppercuts you. And I had to really wrestle with this. Was it the church who hurt me? And then I realized, oh, no, it wasn't the church. The church is made up of thousands of people, staff and kids and volunteers and new believers and believers for 30 plus years. I mean, it's like everything in between. The church didn't hurt me. 5 people did.
Mm.
And my job was to actually begin to go to work and say, how do I grieve how those 5 people let me down? And how do I prepare my heart to, because forgiveness is a solo sport, to actually forgive and prepare my heart so that if the day of reconciliation ever would become possible, I had done my work and I was ready to sit across the table and talk and see if Christ might redeem and restore. And so for any of you who have experienced the heartbreak, especially from the church, the one thing I would say is just try to protect yourself from saying in a blanket statement, the church hurt me. It's actually people who represented the church who hurt you. And who are they? Mm-hmm. Name those people, because that actually makes it personal and practical. Because there were so many great people who I still am in relationship with, who didn't hurt me, who actually prayed for me in our desert season, who walked with me in our desert season. And so for me, I think that that's probably the simplest way is just name it, bring that before the Lord, and then just start to practice the act of forgiveness. I'll say this, I write about this in Grieve, Breathe, Receive, but one of the things I realized was the 2 Greek words for forgiveness, the first one is aphemi, which Jesus uses in the Lord's Prayer, comes from the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the holiest day, which is basically they put all the sins on one goat and the goat would be like sent out into the wild. And so this idea of aphemi was to release and send it away. But Paul in Ephesians uses a different word. He uses the word charismai, and charis is where we get grace. And so the charismai literally means the grace I received, I freely give away. So that charismai of forgiveness brings you back to the cross. And what I realized was I took those 2 words and kind of made this little simple breath prayer, cross, release, send it away. And forgiveness is a process. It's a solo sport. It's something you'll probably do if you've been really, really harmed or hurt or betrayed or abandoned or neglected or wounded. Like it's often what I do regularly. And whenever those 5 names would pop up, whether I just saw it on Twitter or some memory came to my mind and some sense of anger came up, I could stop myself and go, cross, bring me back to the cross. I received grace. Am I going to let them? All right, I'm going to release them from this moment. I'm going to send it away. Thanks be to God. And it just became this cross, release, send it away. I think when we use massive blanket statements, we think we're like protecting ourselves, but what we're doing is we're still giving that hurt more power because we're not actually dealing with it.
Yeah.
And I think forgiveness is something that Jesus gives us. I mean, John 20, I'll say this, sorry, I'm like preaching right now, but John 20, when Jesus returns, you know, he's like, hey, peace be with you. Don't be afraid. He says, peace be with you again. He breathes on the disciples, reminds them of the mission and the Holy Spirit. And then he says one of the most common sense lines in John 20. He says, and if you forgive people, they're forgiven. And if you don't, they're not. And it's like you now get to be a person who actually embodies what the cross always represented, or you can choose not to. So the question is, you being filled with the Holy Spirit, you being an image bearer of God and a carrier of peace, are you going to do the work to forgive? And for me, that just challenged me to say, even though it's hard some days, I want to be that kind of person because it invites me to rely and depend more on the goodness of Christ and the goodness of his grace.
Well, I love that because you're, reminding us that how can we not forgive others when we need so much forgiveness, please. But it reminds me too of that Nelson Mandela quote, resentment is like drinking poison and thinking it's going to harm the person who hurts you. There's something really beautiful about what you're reminding us of. I want to shift for just a moment. Talk about ministry post-pandemic in a world that's increasingly post-Christian. How are you seeing those without faith? Are they more open to faith? Are you seeing people who walk close with God getting closer? Are you seeing lots of people wandering? What are some of the positive things you're seeing in the midst of all the challenges we might be having?
Yeah, great question. I'm really finding that there is a lot of people that with one hand almost like palms out like a wall. Mm-hmm. And then with the other hand, it's like, hey, please come talk to me. Mm-hmm. But like almost resistant, like, but please like see me, like, but don't not too, but please come find me.
Yeah.
And I for our team at Forest City Church in Illinois, Chicagoland area, we've just really said, hey, let's play small ball. And I think our church, because being in Illinois, we weren't able to gather in the same ways that other churches were in other states. And, but like it really depleted. Mm-hmm. And so you had almost like a new church plant of people who were coming. People moved out of Illinois, people mm-hmm. moved into Illinois. And so it really required us to start to say, okay, who actually is giving and serving, checking in their kids, and let's like create a list. And almost like old school youth ministry, we just gave every one of our staff like 40 people, and you're just going to contact them and just check in. And I think we just said, we can't do the big event like we used to be able to do, but we can do care and connection. And if we can do care and connection well, I think we're going to win out. And, Easter weekend, that was our biggest Easter weekend since the pandemic. And I think for us, it's like we're just focusing on what we can do well: pray, connect, care, help walk with people wherever they are. And that's, we're just trying to stick to what we know how to do well.
I love it. SteveCarter.org. If you're in the Austin area, want to join us for the men's gathering, no matter what church you're part of, go to gatewaychurch.com/events. Thank you, Steve. We're so excited to have you here. Thanks for sharing your journey with us, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Eric. I can't wait to see you. And real quick, did you see those University of Texas Halloween jerseys that they're going to bust out in all black and orange? They are so amazing. So I am so excited to come to Austin because I got to find one of those amazing jerseys. So thanks for having me. I can't wait to see you soon.